A few moments ago, Buckingham Palace announced the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. The palace has just issued this statement. It says the Queen died peacefully at Balmoral this afternoon. The King and the Queen Consort will remain at Balmoral this evening and will return to London tomorrow. Within the past few minutes, Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. To recap on the statement, the Queen died peacefully at Balmoral this afternoon. The King, that is Charles, and the Queen Consort will remain at Balmoral this evening and will return to London tomorrow.
Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt, a.k.a. Isaac Von Hammerstein. And today, you like that name? That's my new name. I'm going with it. That's my new TikTok channel because I had to, they shadow banned the first one. Surprise, surprise. We're not here to talk about TikTok. We're here to talk about shape-shifting lizard people. That's right. Today, we're going to take a look at the ideas behind this wild conspiracy theory about royal elite bloodlines being part of a intergalactic lizard species. All right, I'm going to try to explain this to you, try to distill it down to the basics of this idea, because it's crazy, right? It's a crazy idea. But we're going to talk about how it connects into the Windsor royal family, aka Queen Elizabeth II, who died not too long ago. And today we're going to talk about, we're going to talk a little bit about QAnon, because they're part of this. And then we're going to get into the roots of the theory, which were best expressed by a man named David Icke. We're going to talk about elite bloodlines, serpent worship, even golems and homunculuses. Oh yeah, it's all here. Which gets us into Jack Parsons and Aleister Crowley. And for good measure, we'll talk about Dracula. That's right, because the Queen and the royal bloodlines, wouldn't you know it, they're related to Dracula. Who would have thunk? So all those crazy Q theories about drinking blood and all that stuff, well, I mean, how crazy are they? We don't know yet. We don't know yet. And I think that's all part of the design, but we're going to get into that. And I teased you guys on the social media. I said, hey, you want this show, retweet, like, comment, whatever, share. You already knew I was going to do it anyway, right? I like to play games sometimes. No shame in this one. But yeah, Queen Elizabeth died, and I could care less, right? I don't really follow the royal family. I could care less about them. She was 96, as expected, right? Well, the only reason I'm talking about this is because I received many, many requests to talk about the death of Queen Elizabeth. Queen L. Lizard Beth, as they call her in the conspiracy circles. And if you break that down, L is the Elohim or the gods. Lizard, well, you know what a lizard is. And then you got Beth. But this is one of the biggies, this idea that the reason I want to talk about it is because there's a big conspiracy about lizard shape-shifting people, and I don't think I've ever done a full show about it. So today we're going to try to explain it briefly. Massive topic, right? Lots of books you could read about this. And if you recall, there was a guy in Nashville on Christmas Day, I think it was in 2020 or 21, this bomber guy, Anthony Warner, blew up a van. Didn't kill anybody, but he blew up I think it was like an AT&T or something because he was worried about 5G. Apparently, he was into this stuff too because, you know, the news, right or wrong, true or false, likes to hop on any sort of connection to the conspiracy world. And that's what they pinned on that guy. And it's probably true, right? Like, there's a lot of unhinged conspiracy people out there. It's a very dangerous little subculture. And it's funny because it used to be, I'm very fascinated by subcultures, and conspiracies was one that I glommed onto. But when everybody turned into a conspiracy theorist, it became a little more dangerous. All right. And so we have to be careful, right? We have to be careful with these theories we present, because you never know who's listening and how far they want to take it. They're going to say, someone could listen to this and be like, my God, these shape-shifting lizard people, we need to kill them all. They're demons. They're possessed by demons. Well, I'm not saying that, man. I'm just saying there's a theory, and we're going to discuss the ideas of the theory. It seems preposterous. But I've got my, beliefs, and we'll get into it. But this whole idea was popularized by David Icke in 1998. He had a book called The Biggest Secret. He went on, there was a famous British show. Oh, man. Terry Maury? I don't remember. They put him on a mainstream TV show over in the UK, and they proceeded to make fun of the guy. And, lo and behold, some of his ideas hold a decent amount of traction, such as this theory about Queen Elizabeth II being related to Dracula. Well, it turns out that was true. And the royal family even boasted it 12 years later after David Icke wrote about it. But you see, and I always question this, because there was TV shows in the 80s like V, or films like John Carpenter's They Live, that showed us this theory about humans being shape-shifting lizard people. So I often thought, man, maybe David Icke just saw this on fiction and then said, hey, maybe that's real. It's hard to say. But someone who did get into this and embraced it wholly is the QAnon folks. Now, here on this show, everyone deserves a seat at the table, including my Q friends. I think they're wrong, but that's okay. They think I'm wrong. That's all right. We're here to share ideas, consider them, and, we're not advocating for any sort of violence on this show. I got to be heavy because they're canceled people left and right, and I'm not trying to get canceled. Because I did several shows criticizing Q, saying that I think it's a psyop because I believe that it is. And, anyway. You already know my spiel about that. I've done several shows on it. But I want to lay out that disclaimer, because I don't want the powers that be to hear this and say, oh, he's peddling QAnon theories, because that's not me, because I don't believe the QAnon theories. But we're going to reference, this is going to piss off the Q people. We're going to reference an article on Vice. I know. There's claims Vice is woke nonsense, and I get it. But let me cover that for one brief second. One of the founders of Vice is a guy named Gavin McInnes. This guy was a very far-right guy. He's the founder of the Proud Boys. So is Vice giving voice to these theories? Is Shane Smith taking corporate woke funding? That's why Gavin left, apparently. I don't know. But what I do know is that QAnon is propaganda disinformation, proven over and over again. All of the theories of Q are completely fabricated. The problem is they take some ideas that have some merit of truth that we should consider, and then they run with it, and I think that's by design. I think it's to get people off of conspiracy, because as you know, in 2020, everyone got into conspiracy. And like I said previously, it's kind of a dangerous subculture. It questions all the official narratives. Sometimes it gets it right, sometimes it does not. But I think they want to lump all conspiracy thinking into QAnon stuff so that the mainstream masses say, look, this is nonsense. JFK Jr. is coming back to life. Donald Trump's secretly the president. This is crazy talk. So that they don't consider any ideas. They want to think that they're all disillusioned crackpots in this conspiracy world. But who owns Vice? It's partially owned by Disney. Partially owned by James Murdoch, son of Rupert Murdoch, the guy who owns Fox News, which is a right-wing media outfit. Even though James Murdoch apparently is a liberal guy, he's donated to a lot of liberal candidates. So is Vice liberal propaganda? Yes, it is. You just have to know that, though, right? And you should also know that mainstream media is actually Fox News. So the mainstream media is actually right-wing media, okay? If you look up the top 10 cable news shows, Fox owns virtually all of them. One of them is Rachel Maddow, and she's like number 8. Fox News, right-wing media, is the mainstream media. People, they're trying to persuade us to say, hey, we're the underdogs. And that's just not the case. And you know what? It's all right. You just got to watch this stuff and kind of be aware. So like, I watch Vice. I think it's entertaining, some of the stuff, some of the shows. But yes, when I watch it, I say, this is generally liberal propaganda. And that's okay. That's all right. Now, Vice, geez, they did an article about QAnon and the death of Queen Elizabeth. And alleged, because I don't stay up on Q, it's not my thing. But allegedly, according to Vice, in accordance with Q, as reported by Vice, Queen Elizabeth II was part of a big circle of elites messing around with the kids. And also, she was dead several months ago. She's been dead. And Q, the reason why is because Q in the past was doing several anonymous drops on like 4chan, 8chan, the forums, right? That's where Q came from years ago. And Q had been dropping the Queen's name, including, and I quote, and Q's always real vague, right? That's what I don't like about it. It's like, okay, they're going to do all this stuff. We'll name the names and give us specifics. Q said, who is the Queen of England? How long in power? With power comes corruption. What happened to Diana? And then it goes on to call her evil, corrupt, and part of a secret society. All valid, I think. In fact, in my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, I have a whole chapter on Princess Diana and the buggery behind her death. If you haven't read my first book, I've written 9 so far. You can get it free. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. Go to the Start Here tab. Sign up for the free email newsletter. That's just me. I'm not selling it. Don't worry. Disney won't be blasting out your inbox. I'm not selling it to nobody. And your first email, you'll get a code to get it for free. Then, let's see. Then in QAnon in 2019, the members of the conspiracy movement claimed that the Queen was executed following a military tribunal because she had Princess Diana murdered after Princess Diana learned of a blackmail scheme involving convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. And we're going to go back into this later on in the show, talking about this child abuse blood drinking idea, right? Because again, like, that's one of the elements that I think is worth looking into. The Q movement runs with it and says, oh my God, Tom Hanks is doing it. Maybe, right? I don't know. It's worth looking at. And I know all the Q people are like, oh, he's a real cuck. Well, I'm just saying, like, I need proof. I need evidence. I like considering these things. Back when I got into conspiracy, it was just for fun thought exercise. Sometimes you would find some truths, and sometimes the truths were really scary, false flags and stuff. But when you get into lizard shapeshifting, like, how do you prove that? I don't know. How can you be so convinced it's real? I think it's a fun, interesting idea. I see some decent evidence laid out, but it's not the smoking gun, right? So Q, and you can hear why I'm being so careful with this show, because this is one of those hot button topics that gets people canceled. They canceled David Icke because of this exact reason. Q, according to Vice here, co-opted that David Icke theory of shape-shifting lizard people, and they claimed that, you know, all the familiar usual suspects. We got the Bushes, Clintons, the royal family, Henry Kissinger. They're all lizard people. That's what they claim. Now, ironically, a guy named Jordan Sather was mentioned in the Vice article. And I'm going to read to you from the article. It says, not, quote, not much longer for Queen Lizard, quote, end quote. Jordan Sather, a grifter who leverages his QAnon followers to peddle multivitamins, wrote on his Telegram channel when it was announced that doctors were worried about the Queen's health. Now, if you recall, your boy here had beef with Jordan Sather back in 2020. I don't remember what it was, but someone, I think it was when I was criticizing the Q movement for being a grifting movement, which it is, and someone on Twitter wanted me to debate Jordan and tagged both of us. Because I was saying the Q was nonsense and this person apparently did not. I don't know. But Jordan Sather and David Wilcox, I think they're grifters. You know? Nothing against the people. Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, they might be nice guys. I don't know. They maybe believe what they believe, but I don't think so. I think they're grifting. And yes, to wrap up this Q thing, it is nonsense. They were claiming that the death of the Queen will be the back before it happened. They're like, this is going to trigger the 10 days of darkness. And if you don't know what that is, for years, they've been saying that Donald Trump, save us, is going to shut down all the media, social media, news, everything. 10 days of full blackout darkness. And during that time, Trump and Q and the Q army are going to go around and arrest all the people involved here. Tom Hanks, Oprah, Clintons, whoever else they claim is part of this, right? And of course, that never happened. Of course, they keep moving the goalpost and saying, well, it's going to happen now. And after the 10 days of darkness, Trump will take his rightful place as the authoritarian fascist dictator, king of the universe that they want him to be. That's what they believe in. I think it's wild. Now, let's talk about the theory, right? That was just the latest, and that's where a lot of the interest expressed to me in doing a show about Queen Elizabeth II came in, all right? So let's talk about the theory. Are there shape-shifting lizard reptile people walking amongst us? I'm going to refer you to David Icke. This was the original theorist, as far as I know, proclaiming that there are lizard shapeshifters in the royal family. And he may have elaborated upon some ideas presented by Zechariah Sitchin with the 12th Planet books, ancient alien theory, and so on. Because a lot of this stuff ties into ancient alien theory. You know, David Wilcox, for example, who I'm pretty sure he was on a bunch of ancient aliens back when they first started that show. But back in David Icke's book in the mid-2000s, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, which was one of my formative books, Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse was the first red pill for me. Then David Icke's Freedom Road VHS tape. Then I bought Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. Kind of a three-stage now, right? But he makes some pretty wild assertions, fun as they may be. And he says, he lays out this idea that basically there's elite bloodlines going back to antiquity. These were the leaders of the ancient societies. These were the kings and queens. And they proclaim to have the divine right to rule. Now, why would they say this? What would they base their right to rule over another independent, free spirit? It would be their superior bloodline. And this is why they obsess over who breeds with who. Probably, allegedly, why Princess Diana got taken out. Because there were rumors she was going to have a baby that did not have the right blood. But this ties into the House of Windsor, who has the lizard shapeshifting correct blood, apparently, right? And David Icke proclaims that the House of Windsor is actually the German House of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. And they originally changed their name during World War I when Britain was at war with Germany hence members of their own family. So they changed their name to the House of Windsor. That's what David Icke says. Because the Germans are always involved, right? The Rothschilds, that means the Red Shield in German. Or the Rosicrucians, who came to America to start the new secret destiny of America, the new occult basis of freedom of religion. And then, of course, you've got the occult-obsessed Nazi party from Germany. Lots of interesting stuff comes from Germany. Now, all of these elites, David Icke claims, they get their origins through the Sumer Empire in Babylon, which is where you get all of these occult sciences of astrology and using ley lines to focus energies and monoliths and megaliths and the sun and the moon and all this stuff, right? All goes back through Mesopotamia, which is where you could argue we get these ideas of lizard shapeshifting people because of Zechariah Sitchin's theories about the Anunnaki alien race that comes from the planet Nibiru or Planet X. If you recall, in 2012, Nibiru was supposed to get the closest it's ever been to us again, and the aliens were supposed to come down and, I don't know, destroy the planet. Whatever. Re-enslave the people to mine gold. That's what the original theory was. Lizard aliens created the human race so that they could be enslaved to mine gold for the Anunnaki. That was the theory. Now, David Icke's theory also goes into the ideas of the star constellation of Draco. And this is where Icke gets into Dracula, all right? And how the elites, the lizard people, drink human blood. Now, Icke says it's not necessarily Draco, the stars themselves, but Draco as a reference to a dimension or another density, as he calls it. And a lot of these ideas came from, this guy named Credo Mutua. He was a shaman I don't remember. Sorry. It's somewhere in Africa that had all this ancient knowledge of the Nomo, the Dagon tribe or something like that. Gets into ancient alien theory pretty quick. When I published on my Instagram, I said, hey, do you guys want to show on this? Someone mentioned about the Dracula connection, and yeah, this is part of it, right? So we do need to talk about it. And in David Icke's book, it says that Vlad the Impaler himself, Dracula, was a hybrid reptilian. His dad was Vlad Dracul, and Vlad Dracul was in this ancient order of the dragon, aka the Brotherhood of the Snake. This is a secret society in Egypt that used black magic. And his dad's name, Vlad Dracul, actually means the devil or dragon. And if you look at the historical symbolism of the dragon, the red dragon in particular, it does represent the devil. Again, another topic I covered in A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, the first book I wrote. Granted, not the best writing, but hey, you got to start somewhere. Get it for free. Illuminatiwatcher.com. Start here tab. Sign up for the free email newsletter. You'll get it for free. You can read about the red dragons and the devil. Now, where were we here? Okay, so Vlad Dracul. Okay, yeah. So Vlad, the son, Vlad the Impaler, signed his name Dracula, which means the son of the devil or the dragon. Now, this Order of the Dragon was a group discussed by the author of the Holy Grail, which goes into the Merovingian Christ bloodlines. Again, just this idea of elite bloodlines that come from the cosmos or whatever. And wouldn't you know it, Queen Elizabeth II's grandmother, Queen Mary of Teck, was a descendant from the sister of Dracula, Vlad the Impaler. So there you go. Now, is this true? That's what David Icke claims. I looked it up. Yes, it is. Here's CBS News from 2011. In an upcoming TV show to promote his interest in Romania's Transylvania region, Britain's Prince Charles claims he is related to Vlad the Impaler, who gave rise to the Dracula vampire stories. Apparently, so is his mother. The Queen, the heir to the British throne, said genealogy shows that he is related to Vlad, giving him a stake in the future of Romania. The prince has long worked to conserve the forest and has bought a home in the Transylvania region. The link, it appears, is his great-grandmother, Mary of Teck, who was grandmother to Britain's current ruler, Queen Elizabeth II, and was queen during the reign of King George V. A Württemberg princess, Mary, the woman for whom the liner Queen Mary was named, was believed descended from two of Vlad's sons. So there you go. Not only is it true, they were boasting about it. And this was years after David Icke wrote about it. Now, interesting sidebar, HBO decided to do a spinoff of Game of Thrones, which was one of the most popular TV series of all times, and they ruined the last season, of course. They have a new series called The House of Dragon, which is based upon the Targaryen bloodlines. And I believe in the first episode of the Game of Thrones series, wasn't it about the Targaryen brother and sister like having an inappropriate relation? Maybe, I don't remember. But yeah, maybe some inbreeding, because they're obsessed with the bloodlines because of this, I don't know, shape-shifting lizard blood. Let's stick to the back to the royal bloodlines here. The royal specifically. David Icke tells us that the main power centers in the ancient world were Rome and London. And London, he lays out, is Babylon-din. Babylon-din. And when the people started pushing back against the royal families and the monarchies, these bloodlines got a little more quiet, a little more humbled, and they went underground. We're talking groups like the Freemasons, the Merovingians, the Da Vinci Code stuff with the Holy Blood, Holy Grail. You could talk about the rituals and like the Hellfire Caves. But these were all now the royal bloodlines of control, and they were coordinating events around the globe, pushing for people to have independence, like the French Revolution, which I believe was in fact tied to the Bavarian Illuminati, if I'm not mistaken, as well as the American Tea Party. All these supposed, like, you know, oh, this was just a grassroots common man and woman standing up for their rights. Well, the reality is it's these secret societies that were poking people with a stick, like, hey, maybe you should do this, you know? Why would they do such a thing? David Icke claims they did this as a deception because they wanted to put up a prison without the bars, meaning you think you're free, but you're actually not. All right? It's all smoke and mirrors is what he claims. Now, this underground group, David Icke claims, are shape-shifting royal bloodlines. This includes the Illuminati themselves. And what they are, they're considered serpent demigods, meaning they're not fully God, not fully man. They are sort of in between the two. The weird thing is that they are also victims to this system. Because what it is that they are possessed by demonic entities that are allowed to pop into their bodies and take control. And we'll get into that in a little bit more. Now, the Merovingians, which established France, or were a royal bloodline in France, House of Windsor, they apparently use the symbol of the bee because it represents magic, specifically the black magic that they alleged to know going all the way back to Atlantis, right? The secret great time of advanced technology and superhuman powers. But this all goes through the demonic entities. And if you look at the history of the story of alchemy that supposedly is about an alien, an entity named Thoth, who came down and taught man all these magical secrets. So again, weird close parallels, ancient aliens and lizard people and occult sciences. So now we also see this long history of serpent worship to lump in with that, which you see a lot of ancient alien talk with. And this goes back to the serpent kings of India, aka the Nagas, N-A-G-A-S. And they also claimed a divine right to power because they were demigods, the result of the humans interbreeding with these serpent gods that came to visit them. Because that's what the ancient alien theory wants you to believe, is that lizard aliens came down, man made sexy time with them. And look, is it true? I don't know. The Bible even suggests that that happened with the Watchers and the Nephilim. So he says that, Ike says that the Nagas, the serpent kings, interbred with the rich whites at the Caucasus Mountains. That's where the aliens came down. And this is where you get the term Caucasian. Because if you recall, the first man and woman, they were black. That's what they're saying, right? That's what science says. In Africa. And they expanded from there. Well, why? Where did this white, fair skin come from? Came from the Caucasus Mountains. And I don't know if any of this is true. This is what David Icke talked about. And early man would go up, climb the mountain, make sexy time with the lizard aliens, and come back down and procreate and make white babies. And then you have the rich whites, you know, like Dave Chappelle says. So the rich whites would become the lizard people. And they would spread to France and London, to these, you know, to the centers of Rome and all these places. And this is where the idea of Aryan kings comes from. All right. Now, sidebar, but if you'll notice, sometimes there's an overlap in the QAnon movement with white nationalism. All right. I'm not saying all Q people are white racist nationalists. I'm just saying sometimes there's an overlap. Same could be said of the conspiracy community. Sometimes you get this weird overrepresentation of white nationalism. Is that tied into this? Of a divine right to rule because the white bloodline comes from these Aryan kings, which comes from the Caucasus region, from the lizard aliens coming down and making sexy time. Big questions. As you can see, very controversial. But if you look at the past, David Icke's book lays out a lot of arguments of the weird obsession with serpents in our past. Totally true, right? Garden of Eden, you got the serpent. In Mexico, you got Quetzalcoatl and Chichen Itza. And ancient aliens will tell you this over and over again. The Indians with the Nagas. Dragons in folklore. Over and over again. Now here's where I critique David Icke a little bit. And David Icke, to me, subscribes to a form of Gnosticism. So I don't really align entirely with David Icke's belief system. I think it's very interesting. He laid it out probably better than anyone else did before him in a way that I thought was interesting. I mean, even in his book, he directly tells you, like, hey, you know what? We were androgynous male-female beings that allowed us to interact with the true God, which is global consciousness, or the source, the all that is, as David Icke puts it. And he believes in this golden age where man could simply leave his body, rejoin the source. There was no need for food. There was no killing. There was no fear. Man, it would just consume energy as a sustenance. And then the lizard people, which are satanic, even though he doesn't believe in God and Satan, kind of, they came here and they made this prison planet where man now has fear, and the lizard people they use that fear as sustenance. Because remember, the early first form of man would eat energy. And that's what the lizard people, they're sort of a higher version of a higher species, I guess. But this is all Gnostic creation myth. I didn't know it at the time when I read this back in the mid-2000s. And what he's talking about is the Demiurge and the Archons putting man into a limited state of awareness, a prison planet, literally. Man's fall is referring to a descent of nature into denser reality. And he says that all religions, Christianity included, are deceptions where the worshiper aligns to a vibrational connection to these false gods, these serpent gods, the lizard people. So all religions, all secret societies, all Satanists, they're all worshiping these satanic lizards. And the point is that the royals are these demigod hybrids, and they can be more easily possessed and controlled by the lizard people. And you have to understand the Gnostic creation story, which is actually pretty big, but the belief is that there is a source, a global consciousness sort of God, a vague God, and God created perfected pairs. He called them Seiges. And it had a male and a female polarity. Well, there was one, the Sophia, and she decided she was going to become God herself and create her own sort of perfected pair or something. And she gave birth to the Yaldabaoth. And she did so without her male consort, so it was not perfect. Yaldabaoth was a travesty. So Sophia kicked out Yaldabaoth from the perfected realm, the heavens, or the Pleroma, as they call it, in the Gnostic mythology. Yaldabaoth is now out in this other outcasted realm, and Yaldabaoth says, "Hey, I have this memory of being in the Pleroma, of a perfected world, of perfected pairs and polarities." And Yaldabaoth created its own imperfect demonic archons, all right, collectively known and referred to as the Demiurge. And Yaldabaoth said, "Okay, Demiurge, go out there and make me a world full of life that will worship me. And I would tell them I'm the real God, but the reality is I'm the false God. The real God created all the pairs, and that included my mother, Sophia, wisdom." So that's what the Gnostics believe. They believe the planet Earth in this human experience was created by the Archons, which is what David Icke claims are the shape-shifting lizard entities. And we all worship the false god, Yaldabaoth, which David Icke says all the religions are worshiping the false god. Doesn't call it the Yaldabaoth, but that's what he's saying. And the Archons are the shape-shifting lizard people. Okay? He just repackaged the Gnostic creation story. Or reinterpreted, maybe. I don't know. That sounds like he's being a fraud. And he's done some shady things, right? There's some things I don't like about David Icke that I don't trust. But, again, everyone's welcome to the table. I'll consider all ideas, but what I would like from my listeners, if you're on my team, you question everybody. You doubt everything. You even doubt me. You even question me. And that's okay, because we're all here to try to make sense of everything. I'm not the kind of person that wants you to just believe what I say and take action. These are all very complicated ideas. There's a lot of grifting. There's a lot of external influences in the conspiracy community. Sometimes it's right-wing, white nationalist, crazy talk. And I reject that, right? I reject that. Point is, the royal family, they are shaped, according to David Icke, they're shape-shifting lizard people, which are the Archons in Gnostic creation stories. And they feed on fear. That's their form of sustenance, because remember David Icke said their first early androgynous male-female pair fed on energy. Also a Gnostic idea about this perfected male-female pair. But the reason that the royals have the special bloodline is because their DNA is more compatible for possession by the Archons or the lizard people. And some say this is why we see different rituals and satanic things happening on mass levels, mass ritual events like 9/11, the Travis Scott concert. All these things open up portals and gateways that allow these fourth dimensional lizard people into our three dimensional world. That's the theory. Now, is it true? I have no idea. It's pretty wild, right? Until I can get some John Carpenter They Live sunglasses and I can put them on and see, it's left to guess. But what I will do to support the idea, I will look at some occult practices. No conjecture needed, my friends. This is what they claim. All right, let's look at it. Let's talk about homunculuses and golems. If you don't know what that is, I'm going to refer you to a book called The History of Magic, Witchcraft, and the Occult. And I quote, "Golems were sad creatures that were believed to be magically brought to life from clay by chanting the names of God. However, because they were not created by God, they had no power to speak. Even today, golem is sometimes used as a byword for stupid. While some magicians were said to create golems to do household chores, a famous 16th century legend from Prague chronicles how a golem was created by the Maharal to stop anti-Semitic attacks. Golems supposedly had the word Emet, truth, inscribed on their foreheads and could be reduced to dust by removing the first letter, which changed the word to Met, death." Interesting. Interesting that Elon Musk is talking about making Tesla bots, right? He's basically making golems to do household chores, which for him would be working in the warehouse. I'm sure Jeff Bezos isn't far behind in making golems to do the work. And you can see why that would be powerful. They have no power to speak. They just work, and you can reduce them to dust, removing the one letter off their head. Now, that's a whole topic on its own, right? But let's stick to this idea of lizard people possessing our bodies. This belief was espoused by our dear old friend Jack Parsons, aka the Antichrist, who was doing rituals called the Babylon Workings to channel an entity, the Whore of Babylon, onto Earth into a female form so he could make sexy time and create the actual Antichrist. And if you, and we've done many shows where we discuss him. He was featured prominently in my books, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, now available on Amazon, Audible. Get a signed copy on Gumroad. Support your boy. But we talked about Jack Parsons a lot because he is one of the formative figures in this new occult world in which we live. But we want to look at his colleague, Theodore von Karman. Back in 1930, ran the Guggenheim Aeronautical Laboratory at the California Institute of Technology, the GALSIT. And he would then form Aerojet, and he would hire Frank Molina and Jack Parsons. Now, those names ring a bell. They're the Suicide Squad, they were called. And if you recall, back in the summer of 2020, we did some shows about Ghislaine Maxwell and her connections to Frank Molina. It's all connected here, right? Now, I'm going to make a note. I'm going to put a link to that show here, because usually I try to put more info behind. I'm going to put a link to that show with Ghislaine Maxwell and Frank Molina, because it was very interesting. But we're not going to get off topic here. Von Karman and Parsons and Frank Molina were all part of this Aerojet thing. It would later become, they would later start JPL, Jet Propulsion Labs, which would become NASA. 6 degrees of separation here, right? Now, what's interesting here, Theodore von Karman, his family, his bloodline, created a golem. What? Let's read from Sex and Rockets, The Occult World of Jack Parsons. Quote, Born in Budapest on May 11, 1881, von Karman was descended from Rabbi Judah Lo ben Bezalel of Prague, and he often boasted of his ancestors' reputation for having created a golem, an artificial human being in Hebrew folklore endowed with life. Unmentioned in his autobiography, The Wind and Beyond, the golem appears in several secondary sources. Obviously, you can see the connection here, right? You can see the connection of his bloodline having the ability to create a golem. And you could look at the ideas of the gray aliens. People say the gray aliens are golems seeking to steal souls so that they can become alive again. And that's what they're doing on Earth. That's what the demonic, the people who say the aliens are demons, they say that, right? Now, if you go to later in the book, it talks about Aleister Crowley. Quote, in any case, the magical child is an age-old concept found in the mythologies of certain cultures. The magical child concept Parsons was pursuing was given definition by Crowley, of course. In De Arte Magica, Aleister Crowley wrote, quote, it is said by certain initiates that to obtain spiritual gifts and to aid nature, the sacrament should be, as it were, a nuptial of the folk of the earth, but that magic is of the daemon, and that by a certain perversion of the office may be created elementals fit to perform the will of the magician. End quote. The perversion, no doubt, refers to unorthodox acts of sex by which may be created elementals or magical children, also called a homunculus, little man. The moon child's creation is described in Crowley's novel by the same name, Moonchild, originally titled The Butterfly's Nap. And the quote from Moonchild, it proceeds to basically say the goal is to create a messiah or a superman. And man, does this go into a lot of realms here. Superman is the idea of Nietzsche, who Hitler was using to create. He was trying to create a superman. Also comes from Helena Blavatsky and theosophy and the occult. Homunculus, allegedly Jack Parsons was creating a homunculus, and that's what got him killed. Allegedly at the Trinity site, there was a big metal, what do they call that thing? I just read about it. Anyway, there's a big metal structure that they supposedly tried to, when the atomic bomb went off, they thought they could infuse a soul into a homunculus that was inside of this thing. It goes on and on. It's crazy. You could also see stuff like this in Rosemary's Baby, and that's what Jack Parsons was trying to do. Channel an entity and make a demigod, which would be, of course, Lucifer, because that's what they want. And the whole idea of channeling entities to put a bow on this thing, we always talk about occult magicians, and the magicians have the ability to summon entities or demons, angels or demons, whatever they believe they're doing, via incantations, spells, and grimoires, etc. And Aleister Crowley, of course, as you know, because you listen to the show, you've already subscribed and listened to so many episodes, 400 and counting, my God. Aleister Crowley used John Dee's Enochian language to communicate with the angels, which Jack Parsons would later use in the Babylon working. Oh my God, are your eyes glossing over yet? So you see, John Dee, who was working for, man, my brain is getting mush. Was it Queen Elizabeth I? I kind of think it was. He was the conjurer and astrologer for the queen, again, tying us into the royal family. And he used magical spells to make contact with these angels, aliens, entities, whatever you want to call it. They said, hey, here's the language with which God spoke with Adam. We call it the Enochian language, which ties into the Book of Enoch, which we're going to do a show about someday here soon. Fast forward 600 years, Aleister Crowley says, cool, give me that Enochian language. He creates the Amalantra working. He makes contact with an alien called Lamb in 1917. Then Jack Parsons, like 20 years later, is like, hey, give me that Amalantra working. I'm about to make contact with the Whore of Babylon. And he did so. Aleister Crowley infamously said, that Parsons guy's a real idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not going to close the portals to this ritual, the Babylon working ritual. And then a year later, Roswell happens. Again, full circle into ancient aliens. So let's wrap it up. In conclusion, even if the shape-shifting lizard people is a silly conspiracy, I do think it's very possible they, the Illuminati, if they exist, right? Which I believe they do. I believe there's a group of people who believe in this stuff. Who are they? I couldn't tell you. They stay secret on purpose. Even the early assassins, secret society, profess that they need to stay secret, so they need to put on different masks and embed themselves in different groups so that they don't let on to what their true beliefs are. But I think the Illuminati, they believe there's some ability to make contact and channel spirits through practices of the occult. Now, Queen Elizabeth II was married to Prince Philip, who actually just recently died. He made it to 99. She made it to 96. And it's alleged that in 1933, Queen Elizabeth II was videotaped doing a Nazi salute with her Nazi-sympathizing uncle, Edward the Ninth. I've seen the screenshot of it. It's pretty wild, right? And recall also that Prince Harry was in trouble for Halloween. He dressed up with a full-on Nazi regalia with a swastika. But now he's Mr. Big Military Hero. And you ever see that video where he's doing an interview and then the sirens go off and then he's like, hold on, I gotta go save the day, and he runs away from the interview? I've never seen such a staged piece of propaganda in my life. All the women, oh, Prince Harry, come save me the way you save the... whatever you're saving. Oh, man. And then him and Meghan Markle leave the royal family, quote unquote, and they're like, you know what, we won't stand for this anymore. I mean, I've never seen such propaganda in my life. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know. I could be wrong. But they're like, you know what, we're going to do it on our own. And they proceed to sign deals with Netflix and podcasts. They're making millions. They're fine. Why do we talk about this? Why do we care about the Nazis? Well, because the Nazis, they were probably the only group to really openly profess that they're like, hey, we're doing black magic, dark magic. We're contacting aliens. And we don't care what you think about it. We're trying to take over the world. And if you listen to, I did an episode. This was a Patreon bonus only episode. This is only on my supporter feeds, VIP, Patreon. I think it even made it to the Rockfin. I did a show on the Order of Nine Angles. And we talked about the roots of magical occultism and how it connects into Satanism, Nazis, Pythagoras, sacred geometry, H.P. Lovecraft, Michael Aquino, and we talked about the rituals, the language they use, the Enochian keys, the black mass to open up gates. All right. And one idea, and as you could tell listening to the rest of the show, you can see how all those topics connect into this, right? Opening up the portals for the lizard people. But we also talked about semiotic theory, and I got a quote from the book that I found fascinating. According to semiotic theory, the magician utilizes signs and symbols as part of a communication process with the phenomena she wishes to understand or affect, and assigns meaning to the phenomena that become known to her. And that's what this is all about. It's all about the phenomenon, this UAP thing. If you read my alien books, you know there's a spiritual element to this, I believe. I believe they're trying to usher in a new religion. And is it tying us into the lizard shapeshifting people? That's the concern. And if all this lizard shapeshifting talk is real, we might find out in the next few years, which is terrifying, right? But I'm going to leave a link to that show as well, The Order of Nine Angles. I'll actually leave a link because I did a free preview. You can listen to the first half of it, I think. And if you like it, sign up for the Patreon. Speaking of which, One last note of housekeeping before we wrap up. In the past, I've always said, hey, you want to support the show? You want to go ad-free? You want 135-plus bonus episodes? Go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. And I always said, if you sign up, I suggest you do it on the first of the month because they charge you whenever you sign up, then they charge you again on the first. They've changed it. They've given me the option to change your billing cycles, and I did that. So now you'll get billed once a month. You sign up on, October 25th. Guess when you get billed next? Not November 1st. November 25th. Yes. So Patreon got it together. Shout out Patreon. Or you can sign up for my VIP section. I give you discounts over there. But you'll get free books, all the stuff. You know how to support the show. Links are always in the show notes. And anyway. Sorry, I had to plug that. I forgot about that Patreon gave me that option. So there you go. In conclusion, in double conclusion, it's Queen Elizabeth II and the royal family shape-shifting lizard people. I'm going to say maybe. I'm definitely not all the way in. I'm not sliding all the chips in like I am on the theory that man never stepped foot on the moon. I'll slide all the chips in on that. But I'm definitely not saying it's nonsense. I mean, maybe. There's something to it. I don't know what it is. But especially given the weird fascination we've had with ancient aliens lately. Bro, I mean, something's going on. So there you go. Hope that shed a little bit of light on it. No pun intended. Shed, right? Get it? Lizards? Anyway, I hope that shed a little bit of light on it. We talked about Queen Elizabeth II. We talked about the royal family. And we talked about the lizard shape-shifting theories and the different people, Q. It's almost like, to me, if you look at what Q is saying, it's almost like that's the giveaway for what the Illuminati don't want you to look into. Drinking blood, because we talked about adrenochrome in the past many times. And I think there's something to it. In fact, I just finished watching House of Hammer. What the hell, man? This guy, Armie Hammer, comes from an elite bloodline of rich elite, the rich whites. And they basically say, oh, yeah, his family is satanic. And I mean, they don't say it in those words exactly, but they allege the family's got some satanic connections and a secret society of elites hanging out, and like, oh, it just so happens that they made it sound like he's more into weird sex stuff, and I'm like, are we going to talk about the cannibalism here? He openly talks about eating women's ribs, and they're really hung up on the ropes. They talk about, oh, he's really into shibari and BDSM, and like, sure, that's a part of the story, but are we going to talk about the cannibalism? And they didn't really cover it. In 3 hours of episodes, they didn't really cover it. Because I think that's part of the big conspiracy. Maybe, right? Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. We're getting off on tangents here. Hope you enjoyed that show. Hope that shed a little bit of light on the shape-shifting lizard people theory. Thank you for listening. Till next time, stay woke.